Good evening. This is Akashvani. I am Valsa Williams with the news at 9. The headlines. West Bengal registers over 92% voter turnout in second and final phase of assembly elections. State records highest ever overall voter turnout of more than 92% since independence. Counting of votes for West Bengal, Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Assam and Puducherry assembly polls to take place on 4th of next month. Most exit polls predict BJP retaining power in Assam. BJP also shown ahead of TMC in West Bengal. Congress likely to come back to power in Kerala. DMK-led alliance leading in Tamil Nadu, NDA also retaining Puducherry. New Zealand Prime Minister Christopher Luxon hails India-New Zealand FTA as a once-in-a-generation opportunity, highlights scale and potential of Indian market. India achieves goal of sourcing 50% of its electricity from non-fossil fuel 5 years ahead of target. And Indian wrestlers bag 4 medals comprising 2 gold, 1 silver and 1 bronze at Asian Beach Games in China. West Bengal has registered over 92% voter turnout for the second and final phase of assembly elections. A total of 142 constituencies across 7 districts went to polls in this phase today. Long queues of first-time voters, women, youth and senior citizens were seen in Kolkata, Howrah and North and South 24 Parganas districts. Voting was largely peaceful across the state. We now go over live to our correspondent Kalyan Laha for more details. Kalyan, tell us how was the polling process across the state in the second phase today?
Well, sir, the polling was largely peaceful with scattered incidents of violence and EVM tampering and some incidents of political souveniring. Opposition party agents were targeted in some districts like Nodia and in Bhavanipur today remained under tension, and security forces managed to control the situation. And one major incident in Palda, reports have come that some places in some booths the EVM tampering was happened, and Election Commission is looking into the matters.
Kalyan, tell us, what were the key issues that dominated the West Bengal Assembly elections at this time, and what measures did the Election Commission take to ensure the high voter turnout?
Key issues were corruption and recruitment scam and law and order situation, women security, and the major issue is Arjikar incident in the state that shook the politics in West Bengal. And we witnessed in West Bengal the pre-poll, post-poll and during polling incidents of violence reported earlier in the polling. But this time, Election Commission has taken many measures like transfer from the transfer of top level of bureaucracy from the state, going towards the ground level, like block level officials were also transferred. Tight security measures and deployment of observers in all the constituencies. And polling, 100% web testing was there in all the polling stations, and deployment of security forces, state police and CAPF in multiple layers. And I think these were the conditions, and these boosted the voters' confidence. And we see that in first phase and in second phase, large number of people participated in voting. And we also witnessed that large number of migratory laborers and the persons who live outside the state participated this time.
Right. Thank you, Kalyan, so much for all those details. The Election Commission today said that West Bengal has recorded the highest ever overall poll participation since independence. The poll panel said in a statement that in phase one of the assembly elections, the poll participation was 93.19%. The combined poll percentage over the two phases stands at 92.47%. Previously, the highest poll participation in West Bengal was 84.72% in the 2011 assembly elections. Chief Election Commissioner Ganesh Kumar, along with Election Commissioners Dr. S.S. Sandhu and Dr. Vivek Joshi, kept a close watch on the polling through live webcasting, which was ensured in 100% of the polling stations in West Bengal. Counting of votes for the assembly elections held in West Bengal, Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Assam and the Union Territory of Puducherry will be held on the 4th of next month. Voting for all 126 seats in Assam, 140 in Kerala and 30 seats in Puducherry was held on the 9th of this month. Polling for all 234 assembly constituencies in Tamil Nadu and for the first phase in West Bengal covering 152 seats across 16 districts was held on the 23rd of this month. Simultaneously, on the 4th of next month, counting will also take place for assembly by-polls for Bagalkot and Davanagere South in Karnataka, Koridang in Nagaland, Dharmanagar in Tripura, Baramati and Rahuri in Maharashtra and Umret in Gujarat. Assam Chief Electoral Officer Anurag Goel has termed the assembly polls held in the state on the 9th of this month as historic, noting that the state witnessed a single-phase poll after more than three decades. Addressing a press conference in Guwahati today, Mr. Goel outlined counting preparations. He said 40 counting centres have been set up across all 35 districts, with Kokrajhar, Tinsukia and Jorhat having two centres each and Nagaon three. Most of the exit polls have predicted the BJP retaining power in Assam. According to the exit polls conducted by several TV channels and private firms, the BJP-led alliance is expected to get around 87 to 100 seats, while the Congress is expected to secure around 26 to 36 seats. In West Bengal, some of the exit polls are predicting a BJP victory, while others have forecast a win for the Trinamool Congress, TMC. According to exit polls, BJP is expected to win around 140 to 160 seats, whereas TMC is likely to secure around 120 to 140 seats. Meanwhile, in Kerala, as per exit polls, Congress is likely to come back to power. Exit polls have predicted the Congress-led UDF winning 75 to 90 seats, while LDF is expected to win in 45 to 60 seats. Most exit polls in Tamil Nadu have shown a clear lead for the DMK-led alliance. Exit polls have predicted DMK to clinch around 112 to 140 seats, with AIADMK securing 60 to 100 seats. In Puducherry, exit polls have forecast the NDA alliance to win 16 to 20 seats, with the DMK-Congress alliance winning 6 to 8 seats. Prime Minister Narendra Modi today inaugurated the 594-kilometre-long access-controlled Greenfield Ganga Expressway in Hardoi district of Uttar Pradesh. Speaking on the occasion, the Prime Minister said the transformative infrastructure project will boost connectivity and drive progress across Uttar Pradesh.
गंगा एक्सप्रेस वे यूपी के एक छोर को दूसरे छोर से तो जोड़ता ही है ये एनसीआर के असीम संभावनाओं को भी करीब लाएगा इसके किनारे नए औद्योगिक अवसर विकसित होंगे नए बनते एक्सप्रेस वे विकसित होते भारत की हस्तरेखाएं हैं और ये आधुनिक हस्तरेखाएं आज भारत के उज्जवल भविष्य का जयघोष कर रही है
This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download News on AIR app. Welcome back. You are with us on the news at 9. New Zealand Prime Minister Christopher Luxon has described India-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement, FTA, as a once-in-a-generation opportunity underscoring the scale and potential of the Indian market. In a social media video message, Mr. Luxon noted that with a population of around 1.5 billion and rising income levels, India presents a vast and increasingly affluent market seeking high-quality goods and services.
India is now the most populous country on planet Earth. There are about 1.5 billion people inside the country. They're increasingly getting wealthier, and as a result, they want to consume higher quality products and services from places like New Zealand. And importantly also, it's going to become the world's third largest economy. So there's a huge opportunity for New Zealand to grow with India.
The medical sector has hailed the free trade agreement achieved between India and New Zealand. Talking to Akashvani News, Executive Director, Export Promotion Council for Medical Devices, Praveen Kumar Mittal, said the FDA has given the opportunity to boost the export of Indian medical devices.
The recently signed FTA between India and New Zealand offers a great opportunity for the medical devices exports, and this also gives us an access to the global and developed market. This will actually help us in developing our products to the requirements of the globally developed market.
India has achieved its goal of sourcing 50% of its electricity from non-fossil fuel sources 5 years ahead of its own target. This was stated by Union New and Renewable Energy Minister Prahlad Joshi on the sidelines of the Resilient Futures Summit 2026 in New Delhi today. Talking to media, Mr. Joshi informed that nearly 30% of the country's electricity is now generated from a mix of renewable sources, including wind, solar, battery storage and pumped storage.
Generation through wind, solar, battery, pump storage, all put together, it is nearly about 30%. Almost 2/3 of the demand has been met by renewable energy. That itself shows that India is capable of handling of this variability also, and our converting our installed capacity into generation and generation into transmission, that itself speaks the India success story.
The sacred relics of Lord Buddha have arrived at Leh in Ladakh by a special Indian Air Force aircraft for the public exposition beginning from Friday till the 15th of May. A ceremonial guard of honour was accorded by the Ladakh police, followed by sacred rituals marking the reception. Our correspondent reports that the arrival of the holy relics has drawn deep reverence, with arrangements made for devotees to pay their respects. We have a report.
Following the ceremonial reception, the relics were taken in grand procession to Jivetsal Potang, which is the first designated venue for public exposition at Leh. The event witnessed participation from across Ladakh, reflecting unity, faith and collective reverence as thousands of devotees dressed in traditional attire lined the route up to Jivetsal Potang to catch a glimpse of the sacred relics. On May 1st, which marks the 2569th Buddha Purnima, there will be the inaugural function for Tathagata Holy Relics Exposition. The relics brought from New Delhi National Museum will be for public exhibition from May 2nd to 14th May in Ladakh. From May 2nd to May 10th, there will be public veneration of the holy relics at Jivetsal Potang, followed by exposition in Zanskar of Kargil district on May 11th and 12th. Lieutenant Governor of Ladakh V.K. Saxena, describing the occasion as highly auspicious, stated that this is the first time that the holy relics have been brought out of their original place of preservation for exposition within India, although the relics have been exhibited in several countries in the past. Phunso Kwangmo from Leh Ladakh for Akashwani News.
External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar received a phone call from Iranian Foreign Minister Syed Abbas Araghchi this evening. Both ministers had a detailed conversation about various aspects of the current situation in West Asia. Dr. Jaishankar said in a social media post that they agreed to remain in close touch. On to sports, at the Asian Beach Games, Indian wrestlers bagged 4 medals, comprising 2 gold, a silver and a bronze, at Sanya in China today, taking the country's overall tally to 6 medals. In the women's 60-kilogram final of beach wrestling, Pushpa Yadav beat Asian champion Shreya Mengyu of China 3-0 to clinch gold. Asian medalist Priya Malik secured the country's other gold after edging out Mongolia's bowler Tungka Lang Zurich 3-2 in the women's 70-plus kg final. Jaspreet Kaur won the bronze medal bout 2-0 against Bebet Seydali of Kazakhstan in the 70-kilogram event. In men's 70-kilogram category, Siddharth settled for silver. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. West Bengal registers over 92% voter turnout in second and final phase of assembly elections. State records highest ever overall voter turnout of more than 92% since independence. Most exit polls predict BJP retaining power in Assam. BJP also shown ahead of TMC in West Bengal. Congress likely to come back to power in Kerala. DMK-led alliance leading in Tamil Nadu. NDA also retaining Puducherry. New Zealand Prime Minister Christopher Luxon hails India-New Zealand FTA as a once-in-a-generation opportunity. That is all in the news at 9. Good night.